Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Last week, Nate mentioned that he was doing his part in moving the series along by going from preaching from 3 verses a few weeks ago to preaching on 4 verses last week. Well, we met as a preaching team this week, and we decided, you know what, Nate, you're starting to get a little too far ahead of yourself here. 4 verses? So this morning, I'm just preaching on 2 verses. Okay? Verses 29 and 30. And as you're turning there, let me just read a quick story for you. Xanthus, the philosopher, once told his servant that the next day he was going to have some friends for dinner and that he should get the best thing he could find in the market. The philosopher and his guests sat down the next day at the table. They had nothing but tongue. 4 or 5 courses of tongue. Tongue cooked in this way and tongue cooked in that way. The philosopher finally lost his patience and said to his servant, "Didn't I tell you to get the best thing in the market?" The servant said, "I did get the best thing in the market. Isn't the tongue the organ of sociability, the organ of eloquence, the organ of kindness, the organ of worship?" Then Xanthus the philosopher said, "Well, then tomorrow I want you to get the worst thing in the market." And on the morrow, the philosopher sat at the table, and there was nothing but tongue. 4 or 5 courses of tongue. Tongue in this shape and tongue in that shape. The philosopher lost his patience and said, "Didn't I tell you to get the worst thing in the market?" The servant replied, "I did. For isn't the tongue the organ of blasphemy, the organ of defamation, the organ of lying?" Far too often we grossly underestimate the power of the tongue, the power of our words. We don't think all our words matter. I mean, we might think some of our words matter, such as the sermon. It matters, right? But does the conversation on the way out really matter? Does our conversation with our children on the way home really matter? Or how about the small argument we had with our spouse or our children this morning before church? Or that quick phone call or text with a friend? Now, you might be thinking, "Come on, Andy. Are you telling me that every single word that comes from my mouth in any situation, in all circumstances, really matters?" I mean, I know some words are important. Sure, we all need wise counsel, accountability, biblical teaching and encouragement. Yeah, but the other stuff, the tweets, the Facebook posts, the fun joking around with our friends, even the words I say to myself, do those words really matter? Too often, I'm afraid we don't fully realize the impact and the influence that we can have with our tongue. We underestimate the power of the tongue, power for good and for evil. The tongue can be the best thing in the market, and it can be the worst thing in the market. The Proverbs has a lot to say on this issue. Let me just read some of them. You don't need to turn to them. They should be on the screen for you. Proverbs 10:11. "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." Proverbs 15:1-4. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Proverbs 16:24, verses 27 and 28. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." How's your speech these days? One more proverb, Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Recognize the power of words, that in them can be life or death. The tongue can be the best thing in the market, and it can be the worst thing in the market. What comes out of our mouth can make or break someone's day. So, does every word that comes from our mouth really matter? Every word? Yes. I'm telling you this morning that every single word matters. We should care about the words we say in all situations and in all circumstances. We need to be careful. We need to choose our words carefully because every word matters. We're going to see from our text this morning that Paul gives us two reasons why every word that comes out of our mouth really matters. Two reasons why every word matters. And again, our text is Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. And remember, we're now in this section of Ephesians where Paul is sharing with us some practical advice for navigating our new life in Christ, for reflecting this new position we have in every aspect of our life. If you recall, last week we were given three principles to help us navigate this new life in Christ. You remember what they were? Last week he said, tell the truth, control our anger, and work hard honestly. In today's text this morning, we find yet another principle to help us navigate our new life in Christ, a principle that has to do with taming our tongue. So let's look at our text this morning as we continue through this particular section of Ephesians, starting in verse 29. And the text should be on the screen as I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. So follow along as I read it aloud to you. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So again, this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at the two reasons why every word we say really matters. And then we'll wrap it all up with some application at the end. Okay, so two reasons why every word matters, and then some application. So first, reason number one. Every word that comes out of our mouth matters because they affect our relationship with other people. Every word matters because they affect our relationship with other people. Let's look again just at verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Now the NIV and the New American Standard Bible use the word unwholesome. Some other translations use the words evil or corrupt. But the underlying Greek word really means rotten. Rotten. It was used for decaying flesh to describe putrid fish or rotten fruit. In other words, the kind of things that make you want to just say, yuck, yuck. So the meaning is don't let any putrid or rotting speech come out of your mouth. One pastor and author observed that such rotten speech, like rotten fruit and rotting fish, will not nourish anyone. It contaminates. It will make you sick. And it smells bad and creates an unpleasant atmosphere for anyone who gets near it. So Paul tells us to get rid of it. Get rid of it like you would rotting fish or rotten fruit. Now, what qualifies as rotten or putrid speech? Vulgarity, obscenity, indecent language, dirty jokes, off-color stories, racial or ethnic insults, humor meant to insult or put someone down, angry outbursts, harsh words, mean-spirited comments, name-calling. Now, there are many more. Those are just some of the real obvious ones, because we could certainly include gossip, rumors, false accusations, yelling and screaming, criticism of your spouse or children, excusing unkind words by saying, I was only joking. And what about griping and complaining? Or sarcasm? Or bragging? The list could go on and on, but if you're anything like me, I'm pretty sure that short list was pretty convicting already. And we all have excuses for what we say, don't we? Yeah, we were tired. We were provoked, or we weren't thinking. We didn't really mean it, or it's true, so we said it. And on we go, justifying our rotten speech. We all have people in our lives that drive us nuts. You know, some people just seem to have the spiritual gift of irritation, don't they? You know, they just know how to get under our skin. It might be a friend or a spouse or our children or that driver in the car in front of you. But what is God saying to us? No more rotten speech, which, by the way, includes what we write and type. We act and say one thing when face to face, but there can be an overwhelming lack of restraint when writing something, especially in this social media crazed culture that we live in. The tongue is a powerful weapon. People die because of something said. Tongues can be weapons of mass destruction, launching holocausts and wars. Tongues can also be the death of marriages, families, friendships, churches, careers, hopes, understanding, missionary efforts, and governments. You see, we live in a deletable age, and so we think we can just delete or erase anything that's been said or typed. But once those words are spoken or written or typed and sent, you can never take them back. They're out there forever. And oh, the damage that they can do. I heard a story this week about a young couple. The young woman was fair-skinned and had a lot of freckles. And she was very self-conscious over her freckles. And she always thought all growing up that she was unlovely. Well, she met a young man. They began dating. And it became evident to him early on that she was self-conscious over her appearance and over her freckles. And so he was constantly telling her, "You're beautiful. I love you, freckles and all. You're beautiful. I love you, freckles and all." And they continued dating, and eventually they got married. And even after they got married, he was constantly assuring her, "You're beautiful. I love you, freckles and all." And he continued saying that, and after years of telling that, she finally became convinced that she was truly beautiful, truly lovely. And then several more years into their marriage, and an exceptionally heated argument began. And as the anger began to rise and the patience waning, the man stormed out of the room. But just before exiting, he turned around and pulled out the ultimate weapon. And he said, "I never did like those freckles anyway." And he crushed her. He crushed her. And not only did that one sentence crush her spirit and any self-confidence she had, but it undermined years and years of trust. One sentence. One sentence. Words are powerful. The tongue can be the worst thing in the market. People die because of something said. But people also live because of something said. The tongue can be a tree of life, as we read earlier in Proverbs 15. Tongues reconcile peoples and make peace. Tongues can make marriages sweet, families strong, churches healthy. Tongues can give hope to the despairing and advance understanding and spread the gospel of Christ. And what does our text say? It says we are to speak good words that build up instead of tearing down, words of edification. We are to speak words that minister grace to those who hear them. And we are to do it all the time. And in every circumstance, we are to speak good words that bring grace according to the need of the moment. How many of your words this last week were words of encouragement? How many of your words were words to build up? The tongue is a powerful weapon that can be used to bring life. The tongue can be the best thing in the market. Lives have been completely changed with just one encouraging and kind word. When preparing for this message, I came across many different stories of people who are right on the verge of committing suicide, of taking their own life. And they had already written their goodbye note and everything. Then someone came along and offered an encouraging word, a kind word, and it literally saved their lives. My parents were constantly encouraging me and building me up all throughout my childhood. And in fact, they still do, so all throughout my life. But my life was also greatly impacted by some people apart from my parents who took the time to encourage me, to build me up, and to speak grace into my life. And there's numerous occasions, but one of those times was when I was in high school and our church youth group had gone on a summer mission trip. And we were back from the trip and the church, we were getting an opportunity to share with our church a little bit of a summary and a recap of what we had done. We were doing that in the Sunday morning worship service. And I was given the blessing, the responsibility of sharing a short message during that service, which I had done on the mission trip. But after the service, a man came up to me and spoke some very kind, encouraging words into my life. And it helped steer me toward pursuing vocational ministry. On another occasion, about 3 years before we came here to Dallas, I had just finished teaching and presenting a seminar at a church. And after I was done, one of the church staff members came up to me and again spoke some very kind words into my life and encouraged me to pursue seminary. Right around the time where I had just started thinking about the whole idea of seminary. But God used those people's words to guide me and my family to seminary, which ultimately led us here at Centerpoint Church. The tongue has the power of life, the power for good. It can change the trajectory of someone's life. The tongue can be the best thing and the worst thing in the market. Author Brian Bill offers a summary of the power of the tongue, and he says this: the tongue can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy. How are you using your tongue? Because every time we open our mouth, one of two things will happen. We build someone up or we tear someone down. Every word that comes out of our mouth matters, because they affect our relationship with other people. It affects those around us, either positively or negatively. That alone should be enough to make us watch what we say, shouldn't it? I mean, that alone should make us think before we speak, to choose our words carefully. But there's another reason. Reason number two. Every word that comes out of our mouth matters because they affect our relationship with God. Let's look again at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Well, a pretty powerful indicator that our words matter and that we should be using uplifting and gracious words is that not to do so will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. One commentary said that this is one of the more mysterious and important verses of the Bible. It's mysterious because God's ways and thoughts are not human. And yet his church, his body, can grieve his Spirit. And it's important because it's a reminder that the triune God is personal. And that his Spirit, who dwells among his people, is not an impersonal wind or power, but a person. But did you know that you could grieve the Holy Spirit who lives within you? Make him sad? I mean, all sin is painful to God, but sin in his children breaks his heart. Breaks his heart. When his children refuse to change the ways of their old life for the ways of the new, God grieves. The Holy Spirit weeps, as it were, when he sees Christians speaking corrupt, rotten words instead of uplifting and gracious words. The word grieve comes from a Greek word that signifies deep emotion. In fact, the word translated grieve is the same word used to describe Jesus' agonizing distress in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal. When we use unwholesome talk, we literally cause the Spirit sorrow. Now, you can only grieve a close friend or a loved one. You can't grieve a stranger you meet on the street. Sure, you can irritate him and you can offend a casual acquaintance, but you can only grieve someone very close to you. So as usual, Paul's advice here is both practical and profound. We tend to talk a lot about interpersonal problems as if the greatest issue in life is how we relate to other people. But verse 30 reminds us that our primary relationship is always with God. And it's possible to grieve God's Holy Spirit. We can make the Spirit weep because of our thoughtless words. Now, maybe you're thinking, I'm really not that important or that significant. I'm not big enough for my words to really matter to the Almighty God of the universe. Maybe someone like the President of the United States, I'm sure his words matter, but I'm just not important enough or big enough for my words to matter. But that line of thinking reveals a small view of our God. Because it's not whether we are big enough, or it's not that we aren't big enough, but that He is that big. He is big enough to care about every word I say, and every word you say, and every word anyone in the world says. He's that big. Our words matter to God. They can make Him weep. Or they can bring Him great joy. The tongue can be the best thing in the market or the worst thing in the market. Now, one of the purposes of the Spirit's work is building up and uniting the body into that which God intends. We learned about that in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4. The Holy Spirit is guiding us individually and corporately into a closer and more intimate relationship with God. And when we obey and encourage each other and build each other up with our words, God is graced and filled with joy. But too often we refuse to follow Him in His leading. And one of those ways we refuse to follow Him in His leading is through the use of our tongue. The Holy Spirit is leading us in one direction. And when we tear down and divide with our tongue, we push back in the other direction, and it grieves the Holy Spirit of God to see us deliberately choose disobedience. When living in a house with six children, ages 11 and younger, the house can get a little messy at times. Okay, fairly messy most of the time. Okay, so it generally looks like a tornado has hit our house. All right, I admit it. But because of that, we have to have cleanup time multiple times a day. So several of us will spend time cleaning up the playroom, putting the toys in the bin and putting it back up on the shelf and making it look real nice in there. And then we go on to the next room, and right before we enter the next room, we look back to admire our work in the playroom, only to see our youngest, Ari Grace, pulling things off the shelf left and right, completely trashing it all over again. Now, that's extremely frustrating, but she's little. She's only about 18 months. She doesn't really fully understand all that she's doing, although she understands more than we realize. But what's worse is that when our kids get older and they do know and understand what they're doing, and you as a parent have been working their whole life teaching them God's word and training them in the way they should go, in the way of obedience, and you call them one time to come to you, and they just look at you and they shake their head no and go the other direction. It grieves your heart to see them deliberately choose disobedience. So it is with the Holy Spirit when we use unwholesome words, when we tear down and divide and destroy relationships within the body and so mar the Spirit's work in building Christ's people. It grieves Him. You see, the Holy Spirit not only lives in you, He also lives in the Christian brother or sister you just slandered with your lips. Evil speech, rotten speech, corrupt, unwholesome speech destroys Christian unity. D.L. Moody commented that he had never known God to bless a church where the Lord's people were divided. This is a word we need to hear today. This is God's word to Center Point Church, to every church. We tolerate and sometimes even encourage a thoughtless attitude in the way we speak to each other and the way we speak about each other. Every time we speak carelessly, we hurt at least three people: the person we speak carelessly about, ourselves, and the Holy Spirit. Every word that comes out of our mouth matters because it affects our relationship with God. The Great Chicago Fire started on October 8th, 1871. One story says it began when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked a lantern over in the barn. And while that may or may not be true, investigators did determine that it started in or near the O'Leary barn. But by the time it was extinguished on October 10th, 2 days later, the fire had consumed 17,500 buildings, killed nearly 300 people, and left 100,000 more homeless. It cost an estimated $200 million in damages, which is equivalent to about $4 to $5 billion today. The tongue, the book of James says, is like a fire. Years ago, we used to sing, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going," from the song, "Pass It On." You remember that song? Well, that's true regardless of the purpose for starting the fire. It applies to spreading God's love, like from the song, "Pass It On." And it applies to other less noble activities. The tongue is a fire that may be used for good or for bad use. See, fire in the fireplace is good. Fire on the living room carpet is dangerous and deadly. Likewise, the tongue may be set ablaze for God or for evil. The choice is always ours. And in this contentious, angry world, filled with so many voices ready to argue, to call names, to cast a snide remark, to use our words to destroy others, we need to take seriously the call of God to watch what we say, to use our words to build others up and bring God joy. Your words have the power of life and death. Every word that comes out of our mouth matters because they affect our relationship with other people and because they affect our relationship with God. But it's extremely difficult to tame our tongue, isn't it? I mean, it's so unruly. Left to ourselves, we will eventually descend into profanity, ugly threats, dirty jokes, foolish talk, gossip, and outright lying. Because whatever is in the heart eventually comes out. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in the end, the tongue is really not the ultimate problem. As one author put it, he said, "The tongue is simply the messenger that delivers the mail composed by the heart. The tongue is the tattletale of the heart. The words you speak will all depend on what's filling your heart. A critical heart produces a critical tongue. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart produces a sharp and forthright tongue. And an ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. A faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. And a trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue." So fill your heart with grace by soaking in God's word. Soak in the scriptures. And be very careful taking in the words of death from newspapers, radio, TV, music, blogs, Twitter, Facebook, Snap, whatever it might be. Because we tend to use our words to tear others down, don't we? But that's characteristic of our old self. As new creatures in Christ, we are to use our words to build others up. Use our words to honor the Holy Spirit who is in you and ultimately to bring him joy. Every single word that comes out of our mouth matters. Why? Because number one, they affect our relationship with other people. And more importantly, number two, they affect our relationship with God. Pray as the psalmist did in Psalm 141, verse 3, which says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." But it just seems too daunting of a task. I mean, is there really any hope in taming our tongue? Friends, we need to yield our tongue to God. Yield our tongue to God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, "Lord, my tongue now belongs to you"? Have you ever told the Lord, "I've been using my tongue for myself. I'm now going to use it for you. Here are my lips. Let me speak for you. Here is my mouth. Let my mouth speak the words that you want." Proverbs 16:1 says, "To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." Our tongue can be put under the Lord's control. That's a great thought, isn't it? Our tongue, which today may be set on fire from hell, may become a tongue under God's control. He can give us new lips. He can give us a new tongue. He can put new words in our mouth. He can baptize our speech. Shall we not yield our tongue to him? Shall we not give him our lips? Shall we not give him our speech? We are called to yield our tongue to God. So to help us yield our tongue to God, I have two challenges for us this week. Two challenges. First, I'm going to challenge you to memorize our passage this morning. Memorize it. It's only two verses. Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. It's going to be on a printout or handout when you leave. So those verses will be on it. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day and commit it to memory this week. And then second, I challenge you this week, when you get up in the morning, say this very simple short prayer, and this too will be on your handout when you leave. But pray this, Lord, my tongue belongs to you. Help me to use it to build others up and to bring you joy. Amen. Pray that prayer every morning. Lord, my tongue belongs to you. Help me to use it to build others up and to bring you joy. The hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, contains a little line that speaks to this point. It says, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. That's a prayer that God will always be glad to answer. Yield your tongue to God. So here's the message put very simply. And if you don't remember anything, remember this. Every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Every word, all good, all grace, all the time. And I'm going to ask that you repeat those phrases after I say them. So every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Even when someone insults me, every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Even when I'm just talking to myself, every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Even when I'm just having fun and fooling around with my friends, every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Even when it's just a silly hashtag on my Instagram post, or when I'm tweeting on Twitter or posting on Facebook, every word, all good, all grace, all the time. Let me just close with a short prayer that I came across this week, and this will be my closing prayer. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Amen.